After. Good morning. Happy New Year. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So if we're receiving the life that has no illness, therefore it should, by faith, drive out every sickness and affliction that's in us. Yes, if we stand on it. I mean, we have to appropriate, have to receive that by faith. That occurred to me this morning. I had one of those flashes of inspiration. But wow. So don't sit, let us not sit and just say, oh, well, this is how I am. No, it's not. We have the life of God in us. The one who never dies. The one who does not know illness or affliction. In fact, the one who commanded it all to go lives in us. Come on. That's good news. Yeah. Who's looking forward to 2018? Oh, wow, look at this. This is awesome. This is awesome. Who's a bit nervous? Anyone here a bit nervous about? Oh, yes, some are a bit nervous too. Well, that's cool. That's very cool. So I am excited about this year. I think last year was a good year for us. I'm really, really excited by what happened. I'll tell you why. There were two things that happened. Well, one thing that happened on a number of occasions. The main thing, especially at the fun day. Are you hearing me all right? The main thing was at the fun day when we had so many people come. It was an amazing time, absolutely amazing time. We were all just running around, just exhausted by the end of it. But it was so good. But the key thing that stood out to me was the number of people that said, oh, you are the people who give a hand out the cakes down at the shops. There were a number of people made similar comments. We know who you are, kind of that sort of thing. Do you know what that speaks to me? That tells me that we as a church are beginning to get known in the community. We as a church are beginning to get known as a friendly church, as a warm church, as a giving church, as a church who can be trusted. This is a big deal. Seriously, this is a big deal. And I think that's worth giving thanks to the Lord for. Giving thanks to the Lord for. And let us not stop doing that. Let's not stop doing what we're doing. Because people are beginning, and it's not because we want people to know who we are for our own sake. We want to love people, as we've said before. And for me, that's a major, major thing. And I made the point, I said, let's not despise these days of small beginnings. You know, we haven't seen yet, the numbers of people flocking in, because clearing the way in a wilderness, if you like, takes time. But suddenly you reach a point when all of a sudden a flood comes. And I think we're close to it. Seriously, I think we're close to it. I think God's honored those things that, you know, and I've enjoyed going, I love going on those outreaches. I think they're a lot of fun. You know, and there's things to press into, there's things to go on. But let's not slow down. Let's not stop. You know, I think this is, I'm excited, but I think it's been a great year. Financially, we had a difficulty, you know, but I'm amazed at how well we as a body, and you people especially, have responded to that. It's just been staggering. You know, it's just been staggering. So, you know, it's been a good year. I think one, though, as I said in the thing, I think we can be, I can't remember the words I used, I think we can be rejoice in it. We can feel, hey, we can do some stuff. There are things we as a church, we can actually do. Now, obviously, it's with the Lord's help, but there are things we can do. And we're doing them, and doing them pretty well. I mean, it's interesting, there's a few of us went down to the shops to do a carol, sing some carols and things. And what was fun was to see different people who we knew who were part of it and recognized us and yacked and chatted. And the funny, what was cool is, I didn't realize this is what happens here, but everyone started giving us money. We thought, no, we don't want your money. We want to give you things. It was really, one bus driver jumped off the bus to come and give us some money. We thought, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I thought, wow, people in this place are generous. Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll give you. We had a lolly thing. And we found out, we said, no, you have that back. But we still found money in the bottom of it. At the end of it, it was awesome. George and Barbara. Barbara, you were singing, weren't you? No, you were doing the, she was amazing. That Anne was there. So there was a few of us doing the vocals. I thought we did pretty good. I thought we sounded okay. But see, we're doing things. the fun day, still people come at Rittenau and come. 50 adults here on Christmas Eve. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. And presumably, hopefully, a positive experience. So we have a foundation to build on. As I said, we haven't seen lots come into the kingdom yet. But that's the goal. So I want to encourage us with an Old Testament scripture, Zechariah chapter 4. So you can get your iPads out or your phones or your Bibles if you actually have a real Bible with you and not one of these electronic ones like I've got. I have a real Bible at home. I do. I'm just too lazy to bring it here. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. We'll see how this goes. I want to encourage us, but we won't read it just while you're getting there. Zechariah is an Old Testament prophet, as you know. It is said at the time, hopefully you all know your Old Testament, you know a bit about the Bible anyway. This was after the time when the Israelites had been a bunch of terrible people and the Lord said, enough's enough, I'm kicking you out. Because they were doing terrible things. You know, when those of us who carry the name of Jesus start behaving in a way that totally dishonors who he is, he will move to stop you because he doesn't want his name ruined. Seriously, that's what happens. He's not going to kick you into hell or anything like that, but the anointing will lift because he just doesn't want his name dishonored. Anyway, the Israelites had got to that place. They were burning their kids as an offering to Moloch. That's how far they'd fallen. I mean, that's getting pretty sad. So the Lord said, okay, enough's enough. Yeah. And they were taken into exile. After 70 years, first group came back to Jerusalem. First group. And they were led by two men, Joshua and Zerubbabel. Now, the names are interesting. Now, I have to say, as I preach on this scripture, this may not be totally orthodox. I've read a few things about it, and people sort of said similar kind of different things. I thought, well, I'm just going to give it my shot as I understand the pictures, and I'll steal a few scriptures. I'm trying to look at it from a New Testament perspective, not back there, but from a New Testament thing. So this is a devotional application of the scripture, not a strict exegetical. You know the difference? You know what I mean? Yeah, okay, just some of you do. Some of you think, what on earth are you talking about? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But the interesting thing is, Joshua, there were two leaders that came with him. This is just intro to the passage. There's two leaders came. Joshua, interestingly, Joshua was a high priest. What does Joshua mean? Yeshua, God saves. He was the leader. And there was another man that came who was the governor appointed. His name was Zerubbabel. What does that mean? Means born in Babylon. What does that mean? It means he wasn't born in the promised land. Remember, they were kicked out of the promised land. This for them, salvation was being in the land that God has provided for us. It wasn't like for us. We live in a spiritual land. That's our land that we live in. For them, it was a real piece of dirt. And if they were outside of that, they knew we've been cast out of we're not part of the promised land. We're not in the promised land. So Zerubbabel means born in Babylon, sown in Babylon. So it's a picture of here is a man sown in Babylon, but has he'd never known the promised land. He did not know it. He wasn't born there, had no experience. But here he is finally, he has entered the promised land. So this is a type of us, if you like. We are people who were outside of the covenant of God's promises, but because of his blood, we are now in his kingdom when we weren't before. Now, is this making sense? So this is picture language. And this main passage talks about Zerubbabel. So I just think, well, we'll take that for ourselves. This is to us. Those of us who were outside but are now in the covenant of God's promises. Yes, you with me? With me? Good, good, good. Right, let's have a read of this. I think I've said enough to... and Zechariah, just quickly another piece. Zechariah was a prophet sent by God to these first group of people to encourage them in the task that was before them. You know, we need encouragement. So God sent his word through Zechariah. There's another prophet Haggai, who was around the same time, we won't go into that. But Zechariah was a prophet who came to encourage them. And the book is full of a lot of prophets, prophecies about, one, the coming of the Messiah, who they knew was coming, and also the full redemption of the people of God. that's in this book. So that's the context of this book. Zechariah 4, verses 1 to 10, is you will recognize some of the verses, and I, without thinking, alluded to one of the verses in my... So let's have that scripture up there, or read it in your own book. I prefer you to read it in your own book. And the angel who talked with me came again, and where are we? Oh, yes, same translation. Like a man who is awakened out of sleep. We'll go through this, and then I'll come back and we'll look at it. And he said to me, what do you see? I said, I see and behold a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it, seven lamps on it, seven lips on each of the lamps that are on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl, the other on its left. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And he said, no, my Lord, I don't know what they are. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You know this verse? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. How many of you know that verse? Have heard that before? Probably most of us have heard it. This is where it comes from. But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall complete it. That'll do. We'll leave it there. Let me start with that first picture. This is an encouragement to Zerubbabel. This is an encouragement to those who are in the kingdom. He says there, first of all, there are those lampstands. What does a lampstand signify? Well, if we sneak some pictures from the New Testament, from Revelation, we know that the lampstands and the lamps, in Revelation chapter 1, there were seven lampstands. If you remember it, you probably don't, because I probably haven't. But that doesn't matter. In Revelation chapter 1, there's reference to seven lampstands. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. In other words, it may not strictly be, there's all sorts of other interpretation around this that other people say for the time, but I say, it. I think for us in the New Testament, it's a picture of God's people. It's a picture of the people of God. Now, the interesting thing is, next to those lampstands, see, we're light. Sorry, I'm missing a bit. Who is the light of the world? Jesus is. Who did Jesus say you and I are? Light of the world. What does a candle do? It's the light. It shows light. It reflects light. It's a little flame that burns. Ooh. Burn, baby, burn. So this is what it is. Now, the interesting thing is with these, each of those little candles was fed by a pipe from a bowl. What's next to the bowl? Two olive trees. So, big deal. What does that mean then? An olive tree is an awesome tree, amazing tree. It provided, firstly, I'll talk about a bit of the symbolism, but it provided mainly the oil that they burned for their lamps. That's what it did. The other cool thing, and it was also the oil that provided, that they anointed people with, was the base of the oil, anointing oil. That's what they did. The other cool thing about olive trees is that when the ground became hard and dry and tough and everything, the good old olive tree still grew and bore fruit. So one of the psalmists says, I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Whatever happens, comes my way, I will still have anointing. I will still grow. I will still bear fruit. Lovely picture. Lovely picture. Two olive trees. Why? To feed the bowl with the oil that kept the flame going. You with me? Really? So, surprise, surprise. Do you know what these are? No, my Lord. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Got it? The olive tree provides the anointing. The anointing is the spirit of God. Whatever is before you, Zerubbabel, whatever is before you, people of God, it is not your own strength alone, but it is by my spirit things will happen. Really? Who likes that? I like that. You can give me an amen or say, oh, that's so great. Preach that all the time. Oh, thank you. Right, Mary, you're listening to this. So. All right? That's what it means. That's what it means. Now, as I said, we've had a good year last year. Let's push on. Let's push on. Let's go on. And the Lord says to us, okay, there may be obstacles coming your way. And there's bound to be. The kingdom does not go forward without a battle. That's the reality. We know that there's a battle. And there may be mountains, there may not be, but there will be obstacles in the way. But the Lord says history, go back to it. They had become a bit discouraged in building their job when these people came back to the promised land. Was their first task was to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. So they were there, they were working hard trying to do it, and some had become discouraged. And there were people looking at it and saying, oh, gee, you know, we've done this, and blah, 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 how are we going to finish this whopping great building? You can read that as you understand it. Down in verse 8, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of the Lord, this is verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation to this house. His hands also shall complete it. Then you will know that you, the Lord of hosts, has sent you. Verse 10, can we put verse 10 up? Because now I'll get on to this. Verse 10, coming up. Wait for it. It's coming. For whoever has despised the day of small beginnings, of small things, shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Who's heard of that voice, that verse? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I wrote that in the e-news. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise it. We haven't seen a big harvest come in yet. Don't despise it. We're doing something. We can be excited about it and that we can push on. But he said that because there's been people, you know, for whoever has despised the day of small beginnings. Obviously, there were a group of people when it first got started and they got the foundation of the thing. God, they just thought, man, you're kidding me. This is taking forever. We're never going to get this done. This is huge. This is, you know, the whopping great. Here we go. It's taken us how long to put this down? And so people were discouraged and feeling, this is just, you know, getting us nowhere. So he's made that comment. Don't despise these days. I am with you. You see a big mountain before you. You see a huge mountain of impossibility and difficulty and struggle. And how are we ever going to get through that? How are we going to get this building? You understand the feeling? This is what was happening for them. And he says to them, don't despise. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, these things will be removed. And you will come to that day when you will say to that mountain, oh, the Lord says, that mountain will become a plain. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. I will help you overcome every obstacle. What you think is a mountain, I will reduce it to a nice, easy walk for you to walk on, a plane. And you'll be so excited when you finish that thing and you'll be saying, grace to it, grace to it. Favor of God's been upon us. The favor of God's been upon us. I think that's where we are. I think that's where we are as a church. We've had a good year. We've responded to the challenges. We've gone out. We're doing our outreach. Keep doing it. We're starting a job club, which is a huge thing for us to take on as a church. And I feel like the Lord is saying to us, don't look at what we haven't got. Don't look at any obstacles that come your way. Don't look at what you think are lack of resources. Don't look at those things. Remember, it's not by my might, not by by our power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain will be shifted and what you see as obstacles will be removed. And Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. All right? Is that a good word? Anyone encouraged? Ooh, shook. I am. We are called to the same task that those first people were called to. That is to build a temple. What is the temple? You all know. It's the dwelling place of God. What is the dwelling place of God? Human beings. It is our job to build the temple of God, not make ourselves more holy and spiritual, which helps. I mean, holy and spiritual in the good sense, not the negative sense. There is no negative sense. But we have to build the temple. That means we've got to add more bricks to the building. That's what Jesus meant. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. All the world, make disciples, because they become the bricks of God's temple that he wants to dwell in which is, as you know, the hearts and lives of human beings. He wants billions and billions and billions of kids. Builds into this dwelling house. He comes and lives in us. We go and live in him, and it's just one glorious, amazing kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's our call, to build the kingdom, or to build the temple, one and the same. Not build church. It's his church. He will build it. But we are build a temple or a dwelling place for the Lord. Again, I'll repeat it again, which is human beings, like you and I. You with me? That's our task. And that's the reason we're here. If you're wondering, what am I supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to do as a church, as a people, as individuals, as a body, to build his temple. So with him, to extend his kingdom. Did not Jesus say, seek first the kingdom of God? That's what it means. Primarily, getting human beings and sticking them into the building. That's our task. That's our calling. We have started. We have started. We are on the way. You with me? That's what we're called to do. While we're here. Otherwise, the Lord might as well have just taken us home after we got saved. You know, when we got saved, he might as well have said, okay, you know me now. Let's come on, go home. But he doesn't do that. Well, not too many people that I know of. You know, we're still here, aren't we? We're still here. So we're here because God's left us here for a reason. He's given us a new identity. Every human being has to have a reason to live. It's not enough just to know who you are. We've got to do something with who we are, because knowing who we are leads us into overflow that as we do things. So knowing we are his children, knowing we are deeply loved, knowing that we're his kids, he's our dad, loves us, he's nuts over us, wants to have fun with us. He wants to build a kingdom. He says, hey, come along, build this kingdom with me. It'll be fun. Tough at times, but it'll be fun. And it'll go for eternity. It will last for eternity. Don't waste your time on things that will not last. Yes? Just a reminder. Don't keep pursuing the things that will not last. They will not last. The things of the world will pass away. The things of his kingdom never fade. Why spend your money on those things that do not come and drink freely of the river, of the water that I give? I think that's Isaiah 50-something, 56, I think, off the top of my head. So that's our call. That's what we're called to do. It's our job, if you like, or our assignment as the people of God, is to do that. So, that's what we'll do this year. So, I want to go back to three non-optionals for us for this year. Stand on, keep doing what we're doing, and take with us and push into these things. Three non-optionals. You know, in other words, they're not an option for us. We can't say, oh, yeah, I don't have to do that. Sorry, yes, we do. All right, first thing. What book have we been reading? Dirty Glory. What's it about? Prayer. How do I put this? I can't make too many double negatives. I'll get confused. We must pray. It is a non-optional. The Lord only does anything through his people through prayer. He's always calling us to prayer. That's how he works. Why? Because it's a partnership. It's a partnership with us. He doesn't want to do it all his own, because he's given the earth to us human beings. So he wants us to be involved. It's yours. You know, I'm calling you to do it. But we do it with him. The only way we can do it with him is by prayer. There is no other option. There's no sidetrack from this. We can't avoid that. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. I say that again. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. If anyone didn't hear that, has everyone got that? Wave at me if you didn't get that. All right, it's a lot. We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. It is non-optional. A nice way of saying you have to do this. Non-optional sounds so much better, doesn't it, than Jesus is Lord and you have to do this. It's non-optional, but both are true. What I'd like to see us do as a result of this book, now us blokes, we're very, very proud of ourselves, us blokes have, no, I won't go into that. By the end of this month, I would like to see us take on some sort of prayer thing. Number two, non-optional. This will scare people as well, I'm afraid. Sorry, too bad. I won't use the word evangelist. Oops, I said it. Number two, faith sharing. We have to become confident in what God has done in their lives, and we have to become confident to share those things verbally with other people. We must become confident not of God. We have to be confident of what we have to share. Must do. Not an option. Not an option. I'm speaking to myself. I really am speaking to myself as well. I'm not just, you notice I said we. I'm chucking myself in this. We have to be confident of our little stories. None of us would be here if Jesus hadn't done something in our lives. Yes? Has Jesus done something in our lives? Then make it a story. Write it out. Memorize it. This might sound stupid to us, but it actually is important that you memorize it. Because the situation could come where someone, why are you a Christian? You say, I don't know why I'm a Christian. But if you've memorized something, very brief to say, this is why I'm a Christian. You with me? So if you've memorized it, you've planted it in your brain for that question. And then you say, Lord, give me an opportunity to pray. It's the next scary thing to do. Because if we do pray that seriously, he knows we're equipped, he will give us those opportunities. Yes, he will. If we don't pray, they won't come. That's why I said prayer first. You with me? This is faith sharing. It's not evangelism. Most of us get confused with this. We think, the evangelist is the person who, like the Billy Grahams and the people who go and stand on the streets and do the work. You know, Jill, like Jill. You know, we think, I've got to be like Jill. No, we don't. But we pray for opportunities. And in the area of where we live and move and have our being, God will open opportunities for us to share and talk. Second thing, we have to be confident. We have to be confident of the Christian gospel. We have to be confident of the message. We have to believe, yes, this message really works. It really works. Therefore, we have to know one. We have to know a message. Very simple that we can do in 1 or 2 minutes. Again, it takes work. We have to memorize that. That's what I've discovered. And there's a group of us did the thing with the little fire gospel that Colin came and shared it, and we had a good time memorizing it. Doing it, and we were encouraged. Not many of us have succeeded doing too many sharings yet. Some of us have, some haven't. But the thing that I've discovered is we have to memorize it. Because you get to a point and someone says, and you waffle. But a little voice says to you, now you've memorized this. It's a canned approach. No, it's not. You don't have anything there, you've got nothing to say. The good thing about having that little four, fire, I won't go through the thing. I do know, but I won't waste time going through the four things. F-I-R-E. If you know what those things are, you have a track to run on. With me? It's a track to run on. And if we just know 1 or 2 points of each of those headings and we've memorized it, if something comes to mind where we can do it and go, oh, because it will trigger off other things. But if there's nothing there for God to you. You with me? Now, I'm going to get Colin in. I don't know if it's going to probably be next month or two, and we'll do another one in the evening. I want to encourage us all to go, or as many as possible, to do this. We have to know a gospel message, and we have to be confident in it. I like Colin's gospel story. It's a good one. It's a really good one. It's worth memorizing. You've heard it here when he preached last year. It's a good message. Yes? Good message. Worth tucking away. All right. So are you still here? You're still with me? Who wants to run out and leave? Third one. There's three. I did say there were three. Non-optional. We cannot afford to back off from signs and wonders. We cannot afford to back off from the miraculous or the supernatural. Yes? No, I'm not so sure about that. We cannot afford to. It is unnatural for Christians not to walk in the supernatural. It is unnatural. We do not live in the world. We live in a kingdom that is supernatural. So if we're not experiencing the miraculous, if we're not experiencing the supernatural, I hate saying this, but something is wrong. Because it's unnatural for Christians to be not experiencing it. That scares us. That scares me. Hope that's made us nervous nicely. I don't want to, you know what I mean? I'm trying, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, it challenges me. We cannot afford to back down. We cannot afford to back away from that, especially in an age when the NHS is being stressed to the max. There are people who are not getting help. Who did they go to in those days to get help? Jesus. We have the awesome physician lives in us. We can't afford to back down. We cannot afford to back away. Now, just as an encouragement, there's a lady that, you know, we've often talked about Heidi Baker, and, you know, you get terrible saying, oh, yeah, but she's Heidi Baker, she blah, 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 blah. She went to a meeting, and there someone said to her, you are going to pray for the blind, and you will see the blind healed. So she thought, oh, okay. So for the next 12 months, she prayed for every single blind person that she came across, stopped and prayed for every single one that she saw. Now you might think, well, that's a whatever. You know, how many blind people do we come across in a year? When was the last time you saw one? You know what I mean? But this is Mozambique. This is Mozambique. At the time, third poorest country, if not the poorest country in the world. You don't have to go far to see blind people because there's no help. There's no help for people who get infections. There's no help for any of that kind of stuff. It just isn't there. So blind people are all around. They're not hard to find. Faith is this, but there's this story that Heidi, oh, anyway, I'll finish the story. She determined to pray. She didn't know how many she prayed for 12 months she prayed, didn't see one miracle, not one. Finally, she met a lady who happened to be called Ida, which is similar to Heidi. And she prayed for her and she was healed. The next person she saw also happened to be called, she saw three people who were called Ida, and they're all blind and they got healed. And the dam broke. Why? Because she persevered. We must persevere. Don't back run. If it doesn't happen, fine. But have a go. We've got to have a go. We cannot afford to back away from this. Scares us, but that's part of the deal. We've got to go. We've got to grow in confidence in God's power, and that his power is in us, and he will do what he says he will do. Make sense? Now, here's the thing. The prayer thing kind of feels easy, but it's not. Here's the difficulties. Number one, with prayer, there's always something else we can do instead of pray. Who has that? Who goes to pray and something interrupts you? You think, oh, I haven't, you know, and the next minute you think, shoot, I'm supposed to be praying. You get back here. You know, am I the only one that struggles with that? Thank you. There's a small group here and over here. I will join with you guys. The rest of them are more spiritual than we are. They don't have this problem. You know, and you get sidetracked. Now, it doesn't threaten us in the sense of, you know, someone may hate us, but boy, there are other things that will stop us, you know, from praying. But the more you pray, you find the more you pray. The more you do it, the more we'll do it. The more you pray, the more you pray, the more you pray. It's just breaking through and doing it. Second thing, faith sharing and signs and wonders. There's this little line in the ground called the chicken line. And sharing. Now, there are other reasons why we don't share our faith and everything, but the main thing that I think, you know, besides being confident in the message and being confident, those things we'll work on. But there's a little chicken line that you actually have to step over to share your faith, that you actually have to step over to pray for someone. We have to step over that chicken line to do it. And that's the main reason, probably the major reason we don't. What will people think of us? They might not love, they might laugh at us. What will people think? What will people think? And what if God doesn't answer my prayer? That's the chicken line. We have to step over it. Okay? But the good news is that the Lord says, not by my might, not by your might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, says the Lord. He will do it. He will do it. He is with us, longs for us to do this, wants to break out through us and do these things. Yes? So hopefully this is both an encouragement. I hope it's been encouraging. I know I've said some things there. All right. Oh, let's call it. I hope that's encouraging. I don't be discouraged by what I'm saying. I'm just kind of wanting to say this is the realities of what we do. But let's be excited about what God's done with us this last 12 months. I think it's awesome. I think, you know, so excited to hear what Sabina said. There's the time of. But I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good year. Like Sabina said, I think we're going to be surprised. But I just wanted to say, let's not become complacent. there is still work to do. Remember Zerubbabel, and go back to that verse again. He said, the word of the Lord came, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation to this house. Don't despise these small beginnings. We've laid a foundation. It is a foundation. It is a foundation. Let's build on it. Let's equip ourselves to be able to build on the foundation that we've done. So next time we go out and do our outreaches, and you people who haven't come, those of you who haven't, please come along and join us. Please come along and join us. Just, you can just stand there and hand out cakes, you know, praise the Lord. That's an easy thing to do. It's what we've been doing. But people ask. The next step is to say, we want to tell you why. And we've seen miracles, haven't we? We've prayed for people there, and we've seen people get healed. We need to be able to say, you know why we're doing this? Because there's a God we know, we've discovered there's a God who loves us. There's a God who loves us so much that he wants to lift all the crud and the rubbish off our lives. And Jesus wants to take the death that we should have and give us everlasting life. So we have things like that. That's why we're doing what we do. Make sense? That's what he wants us to do. That's the next step. That's the thing to press into. All right. Remember, as we go, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Any mountain will be removed, his kingdom will come. Second thing, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but do not be afraid, I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All right, I had another verse there too. I don't know where it's gone. Let's press on. He is with us. He is with us. Oh, here was the other thing I was saying. Don't look at what we haven't got. Just reminded again, just recently talking to someone, and they were struggling. They just had their eyes on all everything that was going wrong, and yet there was so much right about their situation. I said, take your eyes off what's not happening. Don't look at what you haven't got. Look at what you have got. Look at what God is doing. Keep our eyes fixed on those things. And I went away and I thought, oh, Ian, you've not been doing that very well. You know, the funny thing is, when I do that really well, I have these, you know, when I'm really keeping my eyes on the Lord and I'm rejoicing in what he's done, I'm seeing what he's doing, and I feed myself on what he's done, I do well. I do really well. I'm going well. When I take my eyes off those things and look at God, what God's not doing and what's not happening, guess what? I do hopelessly. Yes? Does anyone relate to this? So what should we do? We need to every day fix our eyes on Jesus, on what he's doing, and on his promises. I'll leave that for another message. Fix our eyes on him. Don't look at what he's not doing. Don't look at what's not what we haven't got. Rejoice in what we have got and what he is doing in our midst. Is that all right? So let's go away with that. He's with us, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Greater is he, hugely greater is he that is in us. You know, it's such a, you know, people can think that greater is he. Oh, yes, he's just a little bit bigger. No, 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 no. He made the universe. Come on, he wants it populated. Greater is he that's in us. And let's keep our eyes on what he is doing and what he has given us. And we will see the kingdom come. And we will see a breakthrough this year. Seriously, I believe it. I think it's probably since I've been here, the most excited, having been through one of the worst years of my life, seriously, you know, for us as leaders and everything, massive struggle. In the midst of it, God's been doing amazing things. And I think the Lord's saying, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. You wait. You're going to be amazed at what I'm going to do. I think we're sitting ducks for it. We just persevere in what we're doing. Amen? Are you excited? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.